Well, today, here in the sermon, a long time ago, of course, on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And we know that these are instructions on how to conduct our lives, and if we follow and obey God's commandments, God promises to bless us, and our life will go well with us. Our life would have structure. In Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, but just go ahead and make a note of it. In Deuteronomy 5:33, it says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you." And it stated very, very clearly there that, if humans think on their own, they usually get into trouble. And God has structure to our lives by giving us the Ten Commandments, which are guidelines for us to live by. They're not just guidelines. They are commandments that we should obey. There are blessings that come with being obedient to God. God's commandments, again, are our basic guide for living, showing us how to have the proper relationship with our Creator, and not just with our Creator, but with our fellow man, our other people that we are in contact with our lives. It is a better way of showing this. On our way driving over here today, we have our grandchildren with us, Zan and Evie, and we were talking about that the golden rule still applies. You want to treat other people better than what you would treat your own self. And Tommy and Harold were talking here. Harold's son has a piece of rental property. They rent it out to people, and the people destroy the house. They tear it up. They really don't care. And so they're not showing the golden rule, to the person that owns the property. But if you're obeying God, God shows us the proper relationship we are to have with Him and also with our fellow man, and how to treat them. And if everybody would keep God's commandments, we would have peace. We would have peace. Wouldn't be fighting. But we know that Satan is in the mix, and Satan is putting wrong attitudes as he broadcasts over his sound waves that are invisible, of course, just like the radio and TV waves are that we receive. We do live in a very, very crazy world, and it is more than dog eat dog, a lot more than dog eat dog. People will do anything. That's like when you drive down the highway. There could be nobody behind you, but they would have to drive in front of you, and as soon as they pass you, they cut over in front of you and make you slam on your brakes to keep from hitting them, just because they want to be first. And the dog-eat-dog world that we're having today, what people think of, how can I cheat this other person out of something else? How can I do them in and better myself? And they think that they're getting rich over this, Satan is laughing all the way, of course. But those of us who know about God's commandments, in this world that we're living in, with the economy the way it is, it almost takes two or three paychecks to really live halfway decent today. And so, God's commandments, a lot of people are too busy to really apply God's commandments and to think about them, and much less live by them. And we can certainly see that in the world that we live in. But we know that God has called us out to know His commandments and how we should be living. And that's how we let our light shine, is by allowing Christ's light to shine through us and the attitudes that we have. And when people see us living that kind of a life, they look at us and say, that person's really kind of strange. They don't act like us. They were actually nice to me. And they think that we are strange and we are different. Well, that's good. That's a good kind of strange, a good kind of different that is good for us. But, most of those who know about God's commandments, when you ask them, will say, yeah, I agree with the commandments, and they try to live by them. But there is one commandment. There is one commandment out of the ten that they try to ignore, or they try to shape and mold or justify this commandment, and this commandment is the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. And they try to ignore the Sabbath. They try to shape and mold it and use it the way that they think that they are fulfilling the command of the fourth commandment. And the title of today's sermon is God's Most Ignored Commandment. That's the title today. You know, back in the 60s when I came into the truth and I was listening to Mr. Herbert Armstrong, and he was on the radio, and he was talking about the Sabbath day from Friday night sundown until Saturday night sundown. And he was talking about that's the real Sabbath, and we should be keeping that. Well, I was brought up in a Baptist church, which, you know, of course, was Sunday. And I thought to myself, well, how could this be? How could all these churches be wrong and be keeping Sunday? You know, but Mr. Armstrong kind of prodded us, as you recall, if you heard him on the radio back in those days. And he told us, he says, don't take my word for anything. He says, prove it for yourself. And so I delved into the Sabbath and learned about it. Yes, it was. It wasn't changed. It is Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. And, you know, many people think of the Sabbath, you know, that it was much easier in the so-called slower days, or, you know, back in the olden days when things were slower. You know, people would write a letter to people and they would mail it off. It was a slow process. It's not like the computers today with email and that sort of thing, or tweeting somebody or whatever. But many people, you know, they think it's just not practical in this busy world to set aside a whole 24 hours, a whole day, from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. You know, and they think it's just not practical in today's world. We live in this fast-paced modern world, and they think it's not practical to keep the Sabbath. Some say, well, you know, my boss wouldn't like that. I would lose my job. Well, that kind of shows right there where they're kind of putting, you know, their first things first, where they're trying to say, well, you know, I believe we should be keeping the Sabbath, but they tried to mold it and shape it so that it fits them, not what God intended for it to be. You know, and we don't want to be thinking like those that are keeping the Sunday as the Sabbath, you know, and is what they try to do in shaping and molding the Sabbath the way they want it done. They figure, well, you know, I can go to church services on the Sabbath, and I can spend 1 or 2 hours there, and I have fulfilled the obligation of keeping the Sabbath. And then I can go on to a ball game, or I can go on to work. I can go ahead and mow the lawn. I can do whatever I feel like doing, because they feel that they have spent a couple hours on the Sabbath, and they think that that has fulfilled, you know, the intent of the Sabbath. Well, and why should there be so much confusion, you know, even about the Sabbath? The 10 basic guidelines, which are, you know, God's commandments that God has given us, you know, most people, including religious leaders, they have no problem with the other 9 commandments. But it's the Sabbath that they try to ignore, because they don't want to say, well, you know, why is God taking away from me a whole 24 hours that I could go to work on and make that time in half? Or whatever it is that they have in mind that they want to do. They want to keep it for themselves. But they have no trouble, they say, with the other 9. Well, they don't always keep those very well either. You don't have to turn there. But back in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, and it says, on the seventh day God ended his work, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, which means he set it apart, he made it holy, and says, this is a good thing. It is because, you know, he rested from all of his work that he had done when he created all the planets, created the earth and everything that we see. He then rested. Well, we have to ask ourselves a question here. If God rested, was God tired of all the work that he had done? No. God wasn't tired from all the work that he had done, but he rested and he set that example for me and you. Because God does not get tired, because he is an all-powerful spirit being that never gets tired. But he rested on the Sabbath as an example for all humans to take the lead from. Well, did God have a reason and a purpose for resting? Well, he sure did. He sure did. He was showing me and you and all of mankind, God's children, that we need and we must be rejuvenated and refreshed from our power source. Who is our power source? Our Creator God, our Father, that gives us the next breath that we breathe, gives us the food that we have, gives us everything that we have. We have to be rejuvenated from Him, to be focused back on Him, so that we can stay in track, on track, that is. You know, God made us to be free-willed thinkers. Well, that's kind of like a double-edged sword to some people. When they're free-willed thinkers, they think, well, I can just go do whatever I want to do. But the way that God looks at it, God wants us to be free-willed thinkers so that we will choose to obey the commandments that he gave us, because there are blessings attached to them. Life is one of them. Making choices every moment of our waking life is what us human beings are doing. You know, it's easy for us, like I mentioned earlier there, that we can get off track, we can get off focus by living by whatever standard that we humans can conjure up or choose. And in most cases, of course, we will choose wrongly, which has consequences and curses attached to them. So it's a blessing that God gave us the Sabbath day, where we are to focus on Him, to worship Him, and to think of how He wants us to live, and to praise Him and thank Him for all the blessings that He gives us. God gave us His law, His commandments, to protect us and to bless us. God's commandments protect us. If we obey God's commandments, we won't get into trouble with man's law. We will be obedient to God. We have man's laws covered. They protect us and they bless us from many, many types of dangers. We are blessed when we are obedient to God's law, and we are cursed when we break them. There's automatic blessings when you obey, and there's automatic curses when you disobey. And if not repented of, if we don't repent of those sins that we commit, the end conclusion is death, final death. And we don't want that to happen, of course. We want to be in God's kingdom. There is a spirit world. We live in this temporary one right now. But it's to be changed into the spirit world is what we want to be living in God's kingdom. Most Christian denominations keep Sunday, of course, as I mentioned earlier, for their Sabbath. The change from the Sabbath to Sunday was made after the New Testament was written. You know, there's no place in the Bible that says that we are to keep Sunday. No place at all. But this change was made after the New Testament was written. So how and when was this change made? Well, first of all, Christianity was viewed as just being simply a sect of Judaism. And they thought, well, you know, Christianity is just a little off branch of Judaism. And there was a lot of hatred going on, of course, against the Jews, against Israel. Observance of Sunday as a primary day of worship appears to have begun during the reign of Emperor Hadrian, and that was A.D. After Christ was born, of course, A.D. 117 through 135. And he was harsh. He was an emperor that was harshly persecuting Jews throughout the Roman Empire. He was just really a bad guy that just really didn't like the Jews. God blessed the Jews with knowing how to work and how to make a living and how to, in fact, get riches. And he blessed them, and people hated them for that. People today, if they see you drive a nice new car or live in a nice neighborhood or something, instead of people going by and saying, you know, God really blessed those people, they say, well, they are jealous of what you have. You know, and you can find people that work hard and they save their money, and you know, and they don't waste it, but they do things properly. And then people look at them that don't do that, and they say, well, you know, hey, they must have stole that. They must have robbed somebody. Anyway, Emperor Hadrian prohibited the practices of Judaism, including the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath. Also, the Roman Emperor Constantine, another one, although he was a worshiper of the sun, he was also the first emperor to profess his belief in Christianity. But the problem here is the type of Christianity that Constantine endorsed and practiced and believed in was far different from what Christ and the apostles kept and believed. He had his own style of Christianity, of what he thought it ought to be. You know, so he was a different sort as well too. Constantine commanded the change from the Sabbath to Sunday because of his hatred for the Jews, just like the emperor before him there. You know, he had this hatred for the Jews, and Constantine's rule became law in A.D. 321. A.D. 321, his edicts all became law. So observance of the biblical Sabbath was driven underground. Those who knew the Sabbath and was keeping the seventh-day Sabbath were forced to go underground, so to speak, and they had to do it in very obscure places. They had to hide it in order to keep it. You know, there in the Roman Empire, I mean, they were watched what they call it, the Homeland Security today, is watching over each and every one of us. You know, they know what you're doing. They know that you and I keep the Sabbath. They know everything that we do. And back in the Roman days, Constantine was that way as well, too. He tried to keep track of everybody. So those who kept the Sabbath had to do it in underground ways in order to do that. Those who kept it, they really embraced keeping, you know, the Sabbath. But Constantine wanted them to, of course, be observing Sunday according to his rule, because it put him in power. Although the Protestant Reformation, you know, brought some changes, observance of Sunday continued from the Roman Catholic Church. You know, and then which also led to those who broke away from the Roman Catholic Church. They became the Protestants. They held on to the Sunday worship there. They worshiped the first day instead of the seventh day. And they still, of course, today are doing the same thing. The Catholics are still doing it, and the Protestants are still doing that as well. Well, one thing we have to realize... And when you prove all things yourself, like Mr. Armstrong told us to do years ago, you know, when you prove things for yourself, we realize and we know from reading the scriptures that God doesn't change. God doesn't change at all. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Christ did not come to do away with God's law. He came to expand upon God's law. And to teach others that, you know, if we do obey God, we will be blessed. And he expanded on God's laws and wanted people to live by God's commandments, including the fourth commandment, the one that people back then ignored and people today still ignore. They don't want to keep the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. There's a lady in our church, her name is Sylvia Davis, and when she was in Worldwide Church with us over in Nashville, her last name was Christopher. Well, her husband died, and she drifted off someplace. We don't know where she went, but she didn't go to church. She married a man by the name of Davis, and he died as well, too. Well, anyway, many years have gone by. It must have been probably, I would say, probably back around 1990. Well, I think it was about the last time that I saw her. Well, anyway, she hasn't been going to any church. And then at home, she started doing her own study. And she began to study, and she studied about the Sabbath. And realized, yes, I need to be keeping the Sabbath. And she said, I need to hold on to the Sabbath. And she was going into the different reasons why. And I was so glad to hear her story about this. And she embraces the Sabbath now with both arms and holds on to it. She's back to church with us. She's going to be keeping the feast up in Cincinnati. But anyway, she realized that God means it when he says to keep the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. So I was so glad to hear that. And one of the reasons why, of course, is that the Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. It is a sign that shows we belong to him. Let's turn to Exodus 31, if you will. ragweed has got me here pretty good. Exodus 31. Let's read verses 13 through 17. 13 through 17. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths, that's plural, that's of course the weekly Sabbath and also the annual Sabbath, you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. That doesn't mean one time, it means throughout your generations, that means forever, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, that has set you apart, called you to be in his family, if we choose to accept it, and if we choose to obey, if we choose to endure, we can be in God's family, in his coming kingdom. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Now, how important is the Sabbath to our Creator, our Father, our God in heaven, when he makes it very, very plain in words here that everybody should keep the Sabbath, and whoever profanes it, doesn't keep it holy, shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. He repeats it twice. He is very emphatic. He is very, very sure of what he's saying here, and he wants us to understand it. That we are to keep this time holy. We need to be fed the spiritual food that he wants to feed us every Sabbath day. And so that we know how to live all of the other 6 days of the rest of the week. Then in verse 16, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath observance to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Perpetual means goes on forever. Verse 17 again, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God has it planned out. He is very emphatic about it. And he gives us fair warning that we are to obey his commandments and the fourth commandment, the one that is most ignored by people back then and by people today, because they don't want to give up anything to God or to anybody else. It's very, very selfish on humans' parts to not keep the Sabbath, to observe the one that gives us everything, the one that created us, the one that we should be bowing down to, and the one that every day, for everything, we should say, thank you, God. Thank you so much for these wonderful blessings you have given us. Let's note the first the duration of the Sabbath as an identifying sign of God's people. And he said, you know, therefore the children of Israel shall observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Again, that is forever. And why? Because it is a sign. It is a sign that shows God that we are his people. And also it shows the rest of the world as well, too, that we are God's people. Well, you know, we have to ask ourselves a question here. How could God state that the Sabbath is to be kept forever if he planned later on to abolish it? And how could he waive that requirement for the early church, which, after all, was overwhelmingly Jewish? Obviously, the problem is not with God, it is with the people. God is not going to change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't plan to abolish it. That's not going to happen. And he did not waive that requirement for the early church, and he does not waive that requirement for us. We are to observe and keep that commandment that God wants us to keep. That is one of the most important commandments of the ten. Of course, the first one is the most important. But if we are keeping the Sabbath day, God will bless us. And when we keep the rest of the commandments, the first part, of course, is toward God. And the other part is toward our fellow man. We would have peace. We would prosper. We would have all the blessings that God wants to give us. It's really hard if you take a look at the collective sins of just the United States. Not even counting the rest of the world, but just the collective sins that are going on in the United States, with all these states and statesmen falling prey to people saying, well, you know, we want you to make laws that says that homosexuality is just like being married to a man and a woman. No, it's not. They are the lawmakers and the governors and the president and everybody else is falling to the sinful nature of the people. And getting to the main point here, how can God bless a country, let alone the world, when it's hard for him to find reasons to bless his people? You know, that's like our kids. If our kids do something wrong, we don't have any reason to bless them with something special that we had in mind to give them. But if they are obedient to us and obey us, we are more than likely to bless them with something special that they would enjoy, that they would like. God's the same way with all humans. But it's hard for God to find reasons to bless this United States, let alone the rest of the world that is gone crazy as well, too. Also very important to note, the purpose God gave for keeping the Sabbath was that we may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If God set us apart, he has called us, he has sanctified us and made us holy, just like he has made the Sabbath day and his holy days holy, time set apart. God says keeping the Sabbath holy is a reminder to those he calls that he is the one that has created us, set us apart, called us. You think of the billions of people in the world, and only a handful from each generation is called. God knew us before we were born. He knew that he wanted to give us the opportunity to make the right choices, so that we can be in his kingdom and can be amongst the first fruits, which we will be talking about on the Feast of Trumpets, be the first fruits that are going to be priests and teachers and rulers during the thousand-year period, the millennium, be teaching others God's way of life, and we will have position in God's kingdom. God has set us apart. He has called us. We are special people. And you know, here's something else that those that God has called often forget. Did you know that this is our one chance? That we are being judged right now. God gives every human that has ever been born one chance. Now, those that don't know anything about God and disobey God are doing heinous crimes. Even Hitler and these people are cutting people's heads off. They will come up in the great white throne judgment, in the second resurrection there, and there will be people, hopefully me and you, will be there to teach them God's way of life, and they'll have their one chance. But let us not forget, me and you are called, we know God's plan, we are having our one chance right now to obey God and to be in His coming kingdom. He has set us apart. We are establishing a special relationship with God, and He is having that special relationship with us, His holy people. And by keeping the Sabbath, God establishes ownership with me and you, with His people. This passage also tells us that the Sabbath is a two-way sign. To those keeping the Sabbath, it identifies the true God, the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. It shows us that as the one that we worship. It identifies God as the all-powerful, no other like Him, that did all of the creating. And we know that the Word was Christ that actually did the creating part. Christ, Jesus, is God and was God. Is today as well too. His people rest on this day, the Sabbath. And by doing so, we acknowledge that God is our Creator, that He is our Father. To God, His Sabbath, here's what it shows Him. To God, His Sabbath shows those who believe in keeping the commandments. It shows that we believe in keeping all of the commandments, not just the fourth one, not just the Sabbath, but all of them. And, for those that rely on the reasoning of their own, they may say, I know God's truth, and I read about it, and I've heard this sermon and that sermon, and I try to live by them. Well, you look how God looks at people that halfway do it. He looks at them as being lukewarm. And what does He say? He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. We are either with God or we're going to be without Him. We can't be lukewarm. We have to not be reasoning for our own selves and shaping and molding the commandments or the Sabbath in our ways at all. We have to do it the way God wants us to do it. Those who keep the Sabbath holy, His Sabbath day, it's the only day of the week that God has set apart. He made it very, very special for us. He wants us to focus on Him, as I mentioned earlier, so that we may learn and receive that special spiritual food that we are to focus on. Mentioned about the guy that has heard every sermon. He thinks he heard every sermon that there is, so they kind of fluff over it and take it for granted. But God will pick out different parts of sermons for different people. And you may say, I've heard this sermon before, 100 times. But on that one special day, He may have something to target for you that is going to be special for you. How can we treat God's Sabbath in today's world? Again, we live in this busy, crazy world that's going on and on and on. In Isaiah, you can write this one down too. But in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, and I took this from the NIV, and it says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, then you will find joy in the Lord. You know, things will go a whole lot better for you. You will be blessed. Just like I was speaking earlier of our children. If they obey, we have reasons to bless them. Mm-hmm. When they disobey, of course we don't. God is our Father. He treats us the same way. If we are obeying God, He wants to bless us. He wants to hug us and pat us on the back and say, what a fine job you're doing. You are growing and learning in my character. And for us to even think about being in God's kingdom and in His family, if we don't grow in His character and learn to be like Him and live like Him, what is God? God is love. God is love, and we are to express that love in us, that godly love. And it goes back to the golden rule. Treat other people even better than you would treat yourself. Serve them and love them as your brothers and sisters in this life. And also, hopefully, in the world tomorrow, when God changes us from this physical being that we're living into a spirit being, as He and Christ are. Well, what about the Sabbath in the age to come, you know, in the future here? Well, Sabbath observance is specifically mentioned as part of the covenant, you know, that God will make with all peoples, their worship of Him. You know, God is not going to stop having the Sabbath in this physical life. When we are changed into spirit beings, we will still be keeping the Sabbath. He is going to establish us with all peoples, as I mentioned earlier. The first resurrection, He counts that as the better resurrection. Because those of us that are being judged right now in this physical form, you know, we are being tested right now. This is a test on us, that we are to grow in God's character. And we will be blessed for that with different positions in the first resurrection. But throughout all the resurrections, not the last one, but the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment, when God is calling all humans that have ever lived, they will get their chance to obey God and to be able to keep the Sabbath as we are keeping it right now. And they will keep it probably more vividly than we are. They will be glad to say, yes, we will keep the Sabbath exactly the way that you want us to keep it. Because they're going to be coming through a horrible, horrible time to get there. They will come through the Great Tribulation, a horrible, horrible time. And I feel that we're on the brink of that right now. I really do. You take a look at the different religions, like the Muslims, for example, that are trying to take over the entire world and bring in Sharia law, which is completely against God's law, completely against it. And I think we're on the brink that things are going to come to a head to where man will be ready to kill and wipe off humanity off the face of the earth. And of course, before that happens, Christ will return. But there are some prophecies that are going to have to be fulfilled in the meantime. And one of those prophecies, and you probably heard me mention this before, is that Israel and the United States will both fall. And things are going to get really, really bad. And the king of the north and the king of the south are going to be battling back and forth. And right in the middle of the borderline there is Jerusalem, God's holy city. And that's why, you know, that he says those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. But we have to pray that God will protect us wherever we are. And God wants to protect us if we are in obedience to Him, if we're keeping all of His commandments. But God will institute the Sabbath day throughout all of eternity as well, too. The Sabbath will be a very important part of Christ's coming reign over the earth. In Mark 2, in verse 27, it says, it's Mark 2, verse 27, it says, God created the Sabbath for mankind, and there yet will come time when all people will be keeping God's Sabbath. So we know that this is something that's not going to stop just in this physical life that you and I are living in. It will be throughout eternity as well. So we ask ourselves, you know, what is true worship then? You know, because we want to please God so that we can receive His blessings, of course. Our worship of God would therefore mean showing our appreciation for God's worth. What is God's worth? Oh, how wonderful it is that He even created humans. How wonderful it is that He created this little ball called Earth that's flying about 17,000 miles an hour through space right now, and He has put an atmosphere around it and gravity, the law of gravity, so that we don't fly off of it into outer space, and that we have the seasons that's not too cold, not too hot, that we have a growing time where we can grow crops and have food to eat and all these wonderful blessings. We have to take a look at and show appreciation for God's worth. He is worth far more than we can even comprehend. We would have no existence. We only have the next breath that we breathe or the next heartbeat because He allows it. There are no coincidences in this life. Nothing happens unless God allows it. And we know that from the book of Job and the story of Job, is that Satan went to and fro, and he went to God, and he says, let me just go ahead and do something to your fellow Job here that you think is doing so well. I can bring him down. And God allowed Satan to bring this on to Job, but He said, you are not to take his life. So Satan can only do what God allows him to do. And we must show our appreciation to our great Father, our Father, our God in heaven, of what His worth is to us. We must pay close attention to what God tells us in His Word, which is the Bible. He gave us the instruction book and shows us how to live. God makes it clear that He is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. And we let's turn to John 4. Might as well go ahead and read that. Let's turn to John 4. John chapter 4, and we'll read verses 23 and 24. And it's Jesus speaking, and He says, "But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Well, how can we worship God in spirit when we're in this physical form? Well, for us to worship God in spirit, we need to have a transformation, a change in our heart and in our mind, that we are already living in the Spirit, that we have already attained that. This is our one and only chance. We have to have our minds transformed to be thinking that way. We live in a temporary tent right now, and we have to realize that it's not going to last forever in this little tent that we're living in. So therefore, we need to be already thinking of being in the spirit form and obeying God and worshiping Him right now in spirit and in truth. God wants us to worship Him again in truth. We do this by honoring Him, by serving Him, by believing in Him and believing in Jesus Christ. He was sent here, born through a woman that was a virgin. And He came here to live in the physical form, to experience this life, not just to experience it, but He came here to pay the price for us humans, which He did. God asks us to live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. And he sent his son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior. And if we believe that with our hearts and our minds, we can be part of God's family. Our worship of God is shown in how we live our daily lives, how we walk. He says, you are to walk, that's to live your daily lives, walk in His ways. Well, you know, true worship involves us having that inward transformation of our hearts. We have to be willing to choose to want to change our character to be like God's character of love and giving and doing obedience to Him. And just think how awesome God is. He is all-powerful to create us. We didn't evolve from some slime off of some beach or water or something. Could never have happened. You take a look at your parts in your body, your heart, your liver, your lungs, your brain, every part of your body. It didn't just evolve. It didn't just happen. It did happen by God's command. He commanded and it happened by Him speaking His word. That's like when we go and we anoint somebody. It's nothing that we do. We do what God tells us to do. We anoint people with oil and we lay hands on that person's head to impart God's Holy Spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit that does the healing. God can heal instantly. You take the example of Jesus when Martha called on Jesus about a brother Lazarus, said, you know, he is dying. Come and, anoint him and heal him. Well, on purpose, Jesus stayed away for 3 or 4 days after Lazarus was dead. He did that on purpose. Why? Because He wanted them to believe in Him, that He is God, and that He has the power to even raise the dead. Not just heal somebody, but to raise them from the dead. And He did that. And it said, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Well, a couple of reasons. One, because He felt sorry for Mary and Martha there. But He wept because they did not believe. They were actually kind of mad at Christ after 3 or 4 days when He showed up. He was crying about that. Why didn't you believe me? He was saying, I am God. By speaking the word, I cannot just heal somebody. I can raise the dead. And so we have to grow in our hearts, transformation in our hearts by faith. What is faith? Faith is complete trust in God. Complete trust in God that He is God, that He can do all these things. We have to believe in the sacrifice that Christ made for us. There are so many people, they get on their knees and they pray to God, oh God, please forgive me of this sin that I did. They get up off their knees and they take the sin right back onto their own shoulders and their mind, and they think about it and worry about it. Mm-hmm. And what does God says? If He forgives you, it's as far as east is from west. Okay. And we are to be the same way. But we need to be going in the right direction when we get up off of our knees. And we should be wanting to obey God because He does forgive us because Christ did pay the price for our sins. We have an appointment with God. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. We have an appointment with God. Hebrews 10. Let's read verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 10 there. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Again, let us think about one another in a different frame of mind than being just a human that is take care of self, take care of number one. Let us consider one another as being sons of God and sisters of God, being in God's family. Think of others better than ourselves. In order to stir up love, what is love? God is love, the way He thinks, His character, and good works, doing good for God and for other people. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. as is the manner of some, but exhorting, that means to comfort one another, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, there's a day that's going to be coming. Christ will return. And just like the foolish virgins that is talked about there in the New Testament, you know, they let God's Holy Spirit run out. They didn't keep obeying God. They wanted to do their own ways. And when they knew that the bridegroom was coming, they said, oh, well, give us some of your oil. Oil represents God's Holy Spirit. Give us some of your oil. And they said, well, you know, you're going to have to try to go buy that somewhere. You know, anyway, Christ came in the meantime. And when they came back and knocked on the door, Christ said, I do not know you. I never knew you. We need to, the day is approaching when Christ will return. So we had better be not forsaking the assembling, which are the Sabbath days, the weekly Sabbath and God's annual Sabbaths. And we are to be considering one another in order to stir up that love and the good works. The Sabbath is a test for me and you. The Sabbath is a test. As we can see, most of all humans have failed to obey God when it comes to the Sabbath. They want to keep it for themselves. They think that they're wasting their good precious time of life by keeping the Sabbath for that 24-hour period. Most humans ignore God altogether and could care less about setting aside a time to honor or to worship Him, the one that we should be, every word coming out of our mouth should be, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, for everything. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for being you. But people ignore that. What about me and you? What's our view of God's most ignored commandment? You know, we know His instructions are that we are to keep it holy. You know, but what about me and you? How do we think about it? How do we keep it? We need to be thinking about it, not having our own pleasures, our own time. We need to be thinking about how we should be in obeying God as He wants it done. God has called us and He's opened our eyes and our mind to understand, and it's good to go back and revisit a lesson that God gave the Israelites in Exodus 16. You don't have to turn there, but I'll paraphrase it. Through the miracle of the manna that God fed the Israelites to feed them in the wilderness. You know, and like I said, I'll just paraphrase it here for you. But unlike on other days, you know, the people were not to go out and to gather on the Sabbath. You know, the other days, of course, they could. They could go out and gather the manna, you know, as they would. But on the Sabbath day, there would be none. There would be none on the Sabbath. So God made it very clear that day they were not to gather the manna to eat. That they were to refrain from that. Rather, they were supposed to gather double on the day before, which would be Friday. Gather double to prepare for the Sabbath. Let's pay very close attention to God's intent. In Exodus 16, verse 4, God said that the reason why that His intent for the Sabbath was, and His intent for the manna, the way that He pictured it there and made it very vivid for them to understand, was that I may test them, He said, whether they will walk, whether they will live, whether they will believe, whether they will do in My law or not. It was a test. God said that I may test them whether they will walk in My law or not. God wants to see if we will obey Him before He turns us into a spirit being and live forever in His kingdom. God is not going to have anybody that is going to be opposed to being in agreement or be in harmony with Him in His kingdom. So before, that's why we live in this physical form right now. It's temporary. We live in this temporary test body that we are living in right now. And the Sabbath is a test. And he explained that to them very vividly in to the Israelites with the manna. There would be none to gather on the Sabbath. So this is a test for me and you today. The Sabbath was a test commandment, and we have to realize that and keep it in our minds. While the Ten Commandments are taught as, you know, the right and proper way of keeping the Sabbath, often brings ridicule, you know, from the world, from our neighbors, from our bosses, from our friends, and from some family members and from some spouses who don't believe. You know, Tommy and I were talking a little bit there earlier that, you know, there are some people that marry outside the church, which brings on a raft of problems. Because if you're out of step with somebody and you're trying to keep the Sabbath, keep God's laws, and they're doing other things on those days, it's very easy for a mate to influence you to drift away from God. And if you're having your one chance to obey God and be in His kingdom, that's a very dangerous situation. Very dangerous situation to be in. So we will get ridiculed from our bosses, our friends, our family members, or brothers and sisters who will say that they're getting fired up to think the other way and don't care about what it says in the Bible, what God's truth is. We're going to be ridiculed for keeping the Sabbath, so just go ahead and keep that in mind. So this commandment shows God and everyone else who is willing to go the distance. It will show God who is willing to endure to the end, who will go the distance. And we have to ask ourselves, will me, will you, will we go the distance? Will we endure until the end? Well, we're going to have to ask that question and test ourselves. We're going to have to get up every morning and look into the mirror and ask ourselves, when no one else is around and you're talking there with God, am I going to obey God today or not? God wants to know. And the Sabbath is a test commandment to show God who you are and who I am. We know that Christ and the apostles kept the Sabbath, so it makes a whole lot of sense that we should keep it as well too. And God tells us that it will be kept on into eternity forever. It's not just going to stop in this physical life that we're living in. So in closing, God set aside the Sabbath to feed us His spiritual food of life. That's how we are to be rejuvenated, and so that we can obey God and be blessed. He is feeding us His spiritual food, and He is helping us by blessing us more with the blessing of faith. Faith is a blessing from God, which is understanding and trust and belief in Him. So let's do this. Let's all keep it in mind that we need to keep the Sabbath day holy. It means a whole lot to God. It means a whole lot to us. Good to see everybody.